proudly present Kenneth Williams, Peter Jones, Derek Nimmo and Joan Bakewell in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Hello and welcome to Just a Minute. And as you just heard from our announcer, we welcome back Joan Bakewell after her triumphs a short while ago to play the... Well, short while ago, sorry. A week or two ago to play the game again among... I'll start again. Thank you very much indeed. Hello and welcome to Just a Minute. And
as you Repetition.
You're quite right, Derek. I said it last week. I am allowed to say it again this week, and I can't be had up for those penalties.
Well, get on with it. Hurry up. Stop hanging it out. He's always hanging it out, isn't he?
Well, I just wanted to say that you will have heard from our announcer that we welcome back Joan Bakewell, who did so well on her previous visit, who's going to play the game against our three tough and unremitting players of the game. And once again, they're going to try and talk, if they can, for just a minute, without hesitation, without repetition, and without deviating from the subject. We'll begin the show this week with Derek Nimmo. Derek, the subject is improvisation, which is what I was trying to do a little while ago. And would you talk on it in just a minute, starting now?
Improvisation is something which Nicholas Parson does most unsuccessfully, as you will have noticed in the last few moments. This is something which we are often asked to do.
Peter Jones has challenged.
Repetition of something.
Yes. So right away we have a challenge, and it was a correct one, so Peter, you get a point for that, and you take over the subject of improvisation, and there are 52 seconds left, starting now.
Improvisation is something which we British claim to have a genius for. I think it's hypocrisy, because normally it's an excuse for inefficiency and bad organisation. For instance, Dunkirk, being hailed as a great victory of improvisation, was actually the result of bad planning. And this has occurred many times in history. And, of course, improvisation is something that actors in particular have to excel at in order to be able to rehearse, sometimes without proper scripts and at other times without...
Kenneth Williams.
Repetition of times.
Yes, other times. Kenneth, you have a correct challenge there. You get a point for that, of course. And there are 17 seconds left, and the subject is improvisation. You start now.
The improvisation that springs to mind when the subject is mentioned, as far as I'm concerned, lies with the master of the worshipful company of cordwainers, who made a very lengthy introduction to the guest, but eventually cried out, "I now call upon..."
What did he say?
He said, "I now call upon Lord Birkenhead to give us his address." And he said, "It's 19 Grosvenor Square and I'm going right now." I thought, as a bit of improvisation, it was rather nice. I was trying to get it out, but you blew that blooming whistle. I mean,
well, Ian Messiter,
coming here to play some game or something, wouldn't you?
Ian Messiter always blows the whistle after 60 seconds, which tells us the time is up. And as you know, whoever's speaking that moment gets an extra point. And it was you, Kenneth, and you're in the lead at the end of the first round.
Oh, that's very nice.
Kenneth, your turn to begin. The subject... Oh, Kenneth. The subject is my shyness. Well, knowing your proclivities, to use one of your favourite words, would you tell us something about my shyness in just a minute, starting now?
It stems from a deep sense of personal inadequacy. I long ago realised that I hadn't got the wherewithal with which to face this very competitive society in which we all have to grub about trying to make a living. And so I allied myself at school with a very strong young man who happened to be the captain of the football team, and I said, "If anyone tends to want to be aggressive in any way, will you bash him in the face for me?" And he said, "Yes." And I had a great...
Joan Bakewell.
It's not shyness he's talking about, it's cowardice. If
A very good challenge, Joan. So she's learned a lot after her first visit a few weeks ago.
Yeah, she has learned a lot, yeah.
Who from?
20, playing you at your own game. And that's the whole secret of being successful in just a minute. Joan, you have 27 seconds for my shyness, starting now.
My shyness stems from my school days when I was small and extremely fat, and whenever I was in company with tall, willowy, blonde girls, I felt completely inadequate, and therefore I tried to avoid such situations. This has fortunately lasted all my life, and I do indeed enjoy going into parties and occasions of...
Derek Nimmo, challenge. No, yes. Of course not.
Oh,
there were not no hesitation.
Please! I need all the support.
Poor girl has got to breathe, even if you can speak without breathing. She can't. There are 3 seconds on my shyness starting now.
Fortunately for me, the days have come now.
Peter Jones' challenge.
Repetition of fortunately.
Yes, I'm afraid you did say that before. There are 1.5 seconds on my shyness, Peter, starting now.
I daren't say anything.
Peter Jones was then speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point. Joan, it's your turn to begin. The subject is the Alps. Will you tell us something about them in just a minute, starting now?
France, Italy, German and Austria all have in common this particular landmass of peaks covered in snow at the centre of Europe. Now, a long time ago, these Alps were regarded as a barrier between one community and another and seen by each set of people as a defence against invaders, or indeed, if they themselves were considering being aggressors, as a problem to be solved. Hannibal himself had to face the Alps when he was crossing from Spain via France into Italy to march on Rome, and we all know that he decided, foolish general as he was, to take with him elephants. It is not known how many of these elephants survived.
Derek Nimmo, you challenge.
I'm so sorry, I'm so ashamed. Did you...
So you
I don't like
be.
To interrupt your impartiality, but she did see elephants twice.
I know, but 46 seconds without being interrupted, and a guest as well, I think that was a great achievement. But there were too many elephants, I'm afraid, going over the Alps.
There were for Hannibal.
No, he needed them, but you didn't need them, Joan, because you were challenged. And there are 14 seconds with you, Derek, on the Alps, starting now.
My favourite Alps are the Southern Alps. To go up into Mount Cook and on a ski plane and then go down the Tasman Glacier or past the Sutherland Falls down to Milford Sound, see this great mass of snow, which is, in fact, much longer than the Northern Alps. And...
On that occasion, it was Derek Nimmo speaking as the whistle went. Derek, your turn to begin. The subject is caravans. Can you tell us something about them in just a minute, starting now?
Well, I can tell you something about caravans because my very first home was a caravan. And when I purchased the same, we parted in a car park.
Peter Jones.
He couldn't, however precocious he may have been as a child, purchased his first home.
Yes, because his first home must have been when he was an infant.
Exactly.
Exactly. So a very clever challenge, Peter. You have 52 seconds on caravans, starting now.
The dogs bark, but the caravan passes. That's one of my favourite sayings. And if we visualise these vast trains, usually camels, passing across the desert, bringing the spices and perfumes of the East further west to us in the capitalist Europe.
Derek.
Hesitation.
Yes, he was getting a bit bogged down in the sand there, wasn't he? Right, Derek, you have the subject back. There are 26 seconds on caravans starting now.
One New Year's Eve, when parked in Chiswick, I invited into my caravan 20...
Kenneth Williams.
Second park, he said park no. First time.
No, parked.
He parked.
He said car park last time.
Yes, parked and parked.
You said car park last time.
He
said
car park. Kenneth, you have the subject, and you have 20 seconds on caravans, starting now.
The most disgusting thing about them is, of course, you haven't got your running water. And we all know that in order to go to the lavatory and feel cleansed afterwards, you need your running water.
That's Derek Nimmo has challenged.
His water was overrunning.
Yes. You had too much running water there, Kenneth. There are 9 seconds on caravans with you, Derek, starting now.
Coming out of Dubai last year, I saw coming towards me a beautiful...
Peter Jones, a challenge.
He said coming twice.
Yes, he did.
He did.
And there are 4.5 seconds left for caravans with you, Peter, starting now.
Lots of them have running water, and they have shower baths as well. And they...
Peter Jones has taken the lead, getting that extra point as the whistle went. He's one ahead of Derek Nimmo, 2 ahead of Joan Bakewell, 3 ahead of Kenneth Williams. And he's going to begin the next round, and the subject is The Art of Doing Nothing. Can you tell us something about that, Peter, starting now?
Well, I accept that it is quite difficult to do it, but I've never been able to subscribe to the idea that it is an art form. Because although one can sit still and not actually twiddle one's thumbs or move one's feet or even talk or look at anything with one's eyes closed, one can still...
Kenneth Williams.
I thought a bit of hesitation.
Yes, there was a bit of hesitation.
I don't like having to pounce on people in this fashion, but after all, you've got to play the game. No, that's fair.
You in the mood, Kenneth?
Yeah.
Right. 37 seconds are left on The Art of Doing Nothing, starting now.
This, of course, is a non-starter. That is to say, it is an expression which has gained some sort of credence. Heaven knows why. Because an art, as Peter Jones inferred, though he didn't have my kind of articulation and therefore wasn't perhaps as fluent as he should have been, it does mean that form and pain...
Derek Nimmer has challenged.
He's showing off.
Does he...
Is that possible? Do I look like someone that stands about showing off?
I was going to say, does he ever do anything else? But it wasn't deviation anyway, Kenneth. So you keep the subject. All that happens for that wrong challenge is you have another point and you have 17 seconds to continue on The Art of Doing Nothing, starting now.
What it really means, The Art of Doing Nothing, in point of fact, describes that which appears to be an art. The art, so to speak, which conceals art. You will say if someone lights a cigarette, just to the manner...
Derek Nimmer.
Repetition of say.
Oh yes,
that's right. He's very keen, isn't he?
Very keen. Yes. He's got him with 1.5 seconds to go on The Art of Doing Nothing, starting now.
The Art of Doing Nothing.
And he's also got another point for speaking as the whistle went, and he's now taken the lead ahead of Peter Jones. Kenneth Williams, it's your turn to begin, and the subject is Eugène Henri Paul Gauguin. Will you tell us something about him in just a minute, starting now?
Well, it seems extraordinary that a man who was a stockbroker and had 5 kids should suddenly now lift himself off and just take off and, well, he went to...
Joan Bakewell or something.
Well, he went off to Martinique. I was trying to say that he just went off.
General confusion of thought,
he went
delivery,
off too much.
Manner.
Yeah. Well, he went off.
You went off?
Yes. Prepare repetition of off, and there are 51 seconds for you on the subject of Eugène Henri Paul Gauguin. Joan, starting now.
Paul Gauguin was one of the most influential painters of the 19th century. He was born in Paris, but as a small boy, his mother took him to Peru, of all places, simply because she had family connections there, and the family lived there for 4 years before...
Derek Nimmo challenge.
She had 2 families.
Yes. There are 34 seconds on the subject of... with all his Christian names, followed by Gauguin, starting now.
Paul Gauguin became a professional painter really quite late in life and then moved to Brittany, where he met, of course, Émile Bernard. This was the great influence in his life, as indeed were the paintings of Cézanne, and he moved eventually to Tahiti because he wanted to find...
Kenneth Williams.
Two moves.
He moved twice, yes. I know he did, but he... So you have the subject back, which you were given originally to start. Eugène Henri Paul Gauguin, starting now.
He expressed this terrible distaste for what he saw as a jaded palette of decadent Europeans and said that only in the primitive art form could be found a source of new inspiration and ideas to recreate, in so to speak, the inner spirit of a man. And this
Joan Bakewell has challenged.
He's too loud.
And as you're sitting next to him, Joan, you're the best judge of that. What else are you challenging on?
No, I just I've had to stop him in full flow.
Yes, you did, in full flow. Yes, his flow has never been fuller, has it? So, Kenneth, you have a point for a wrong challenge and 4.5 seconds on the subject starting now.
So off he went, you sick...
Derek Nimmo, chum.
Off he went twice.
You off he went before. I'm afraid. Four seconds on the subject with you, Derek, starting now.
This beautiful Polynesian island was such a source of inspiration to him. The violent colours...
So once again, Derek Nimmo got in just before the whistle went, gained an extra point and increased his lead at the end of the round. But Kenneth Williams has moved into second place, with just one ahead of Peter Jones and two ahead of Joan Bakewell. And Joan, your turn to begin. The subject is making marzipan. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
The art of making marzipan is one that I notice you expect a woman to be better practiced at than the men. However, that does happen to be true, and I am quite skilled at doing this because I have had 2 children whose birthday cakes, year by year, has required me to...
Derek Nimmer has challenged...
I'm so sorry, year by year.
Yes, you are rotten, aren't you? Always do it to our guests. Don't let her get away with anything, do you? 44 seconds on making marzipan, Derek, starting now.
Making marzipan. What an evocative phrase. I haven't got the foggiest idea.
Peter Jones.
Well, it's not evocative the way he says it.
No. A hesitation.
Yes.
Yes.
Between each syllable.
Yes. 37 seconds with you, Peter, on making marzipan, starting now.
Well, I would guess that you have to get the very finest ground almonds and some brown sugar. Whether you put egg yolk or not in it depends, I suppose, on the question of diet. Much better, if you can, employ someone to do it for you. Get a first-class chef, someone who is skilled in the art of making sweet
Derek
meats.
Nimmo.
Repetition, someone.
Yes, there was. Oh, yes. 13 seconds. Making marzipan, Derek, starting now.
Making marzipan always fills me with tremendous excitement because I know how to do it. You have to get almonds, which you crush out very quietly. And put it with egg yolk if you really want to. Take it into the kitchen.
Kenneth Williams, Charles.
Yes, I think it's deviation, isn't it?
Well, I didn't know what he was talking about, so it must
be.
I mean, rubbish phrase, making marzipan.
Anyway, he pinched my recipe.
No, I meant devious insofar as he told us before he knew nothing about it.
Kenneth, sorry, you have 3.5 seconds for making marzipan starting now.
You've got to get your white of egg, separate it from your yellow, and you whip it up.
So, Kenneth Williams is pulling up on our leader, Derek Nimmo. He's only 3 points behind him now. And ogres, Peter, will you tell us something about those in just a minute, starting now?
Well, ogres are huge, massive things that eat other people, or smaller than themselves.
Derek Nimmo, judge.
Hesitation.
Yes, there was. There are 47 seconds on ogres starting now.
A prime example of an ogre is Nicholas Parsons, the Beast of Hampstead. We've all seen him sit up there for 13 years giving totally dishonest and partial decisions.
Peter Jones has challenged.
I've only been here for 5 years. I haven't seen him for 13 years.
deviation. Undoubtedly, every single word. I was waiting for it from somebody. They would have got it right away. Yes, I said 47. Actually, there were 57 before. This time, there are 42 seconds on ogres with you, Peter, starting now.
Well, they are giants, I suppose.
Derek Nimmo challenge.
You start with well again. Repetition well. He always starts with well, if you notice.
He hasn't started with well in this round. So he keeps the subject, and there are 40 seconds on ogres, Peter, starting now.
On the contrary, I'm likely to start feeling rather unwell when I'm challenged on these ludicrous words.
Kenneth Williams has challenged.
The subject is ogres not being challenged on ludicrous words.
Yes, you're quite right, Kenneth, so you have 33 seconds to take over the subject of ogres starting now.
They loom very largely in myth. We hear of the ogre of the Hydra, a many-headed monster, and various Norse legends picture these things as dragons, and our man was called George, and apparently they've now said he's not a saint at all, so we've all been living under apparently an apprehension.
Joan Bakewell challenge.
St. George is not an ogre.
I said the ogre was the dragon. He was slain, dear. You weren't listening. Yeah. You were a disgrace. Watch your ears out. They shouldn't have women on this show, you know.
Well, I agreed with her challenge, and after your insulting behaviour, the only decent thing I can possibly do is to give it to Joan Bakewell. I agree, Joan, entirely you were right. 9 seconds are left with ogres started now.
Jack and the Beanstalk is a classic example of a myth that incorporates an ogre, the giant who comes down from the...
Derek Nimmo challenged.
I thought he said giant to us, but she didn't. I'll take it back.
No, you don't take it back. No. She just gets a point for a wrong challenge.
Yes, I know.
And there are 1.5 seconds left on ogres starting now, Joan.
Jack was quite capable of...
Joan Bakewell got that all-important point for speaking as the whistle went. She's, alas, still in fourth place, but not far behind Kenneth Williams and not very far behind our leader, Derek Nimmo. Kenneth, it's your turn to begin, and the subject is dogs. Will you tell us something about them in just a minute, starting now?
I had a little terrier, and I used to take him up the park and teach him all kinds of weird little tricks, you know. And I made a lot of friends, because people would say, "Oh, it's a jolly good little dog, what fun you must have." And I said, "Yes, yeah, great fun, we're all knocking about the park."
Derek Nimmo has challenged.
Too much fun.
Yeah, there was too much fun. Repetition there. 44 seconds are left on dogs with you, Derek, starting now.
What I would like to introduce are lavatories for dogs. I hate walking along the pavement.
I don't want to hear this. It's a family show. I don't want to hear dogs in loose. I think it's a disgrace. I should have the subject back. Deviation. You're all with me, aren't you? Yes, I should. And I should be the chairman as well, you know. Because it wants moving on, doesn't it?
Yeah, yes, well, if you were the chairman, then you wouldn't have any women on the show and you wouldn't have anybody else speak.
It would be just... lovely. It'd be one man. Yes.
Kenneth Williams, by himself in just a minute, challenging himself, repeating himself, hesitating and never going wrong. Kenneth, I disagree. He wasn't deviating from the subject. And there are 39 seconds on dogs, Derek, starting now.
Because they foul the pavements, and as you wander around, this awful, nauseous subject everywhere about the roadways of our great city, and indeed around the countryside as well. There are many cars...
Joan Bakewell was challenged.
We're talking about traffic and roadways in countryside, not about dogs.
And he also repeated the word foul.
Yes, he did. Now
that's
he mentioned
right.
He did.
There are 27 seconds on dogs with you, Joan, starting now.
I have found that dogs divide people into those who are in favour of them and those who hate them heartily. Now, among the people who enjoy the company of dogs...
Derek Nimmo challenged.
People that do that and people...
Did
that...
I say people twice? I guess so.
Did she? No. No, it's the last round. We're not going to penalise in the last round. Our guest... No, of course not. So, Joan, it's the last round, and we don't allow penalties for guests in the last round. There are 17 seconds on dogs starting now.
It's often claimed that people look like their...
Peter Jones has challenged.
Well, she did say people then, again.
I know, but I didn't allow it last time. I couldn't allow it this time, could I? So she has another point for that. You should recognise the way we play the game now, Peter. There are...
very difficult to recognise the game when the chairman is permanently round the twist.
And Derek Nimmo brings his fan club every week. So 15 seconds on dogs with you, Joan, yes, starting now.
Many owners look like their dogs, very often in the park.
Kenneth
Winchester. Deviation, I never look like my dog. I've always had this vivacious look. You know, this blonde mass of hair, with all people say they'd have to run through barefoot. And never have I been likened to a dog. I mean, do I look like a dog?
I'm afraid the audience have decided that definitely you do, so... there we are, Kenneth. I'm afraid you walk right into that one. So Joan has another point for an incorrect challenge, and she has 11 seconds to continue on dogs, starting now.
I have observed when walking in the...
Peter Jones has challenged again.
I'm just making another incorrect challenge.
Well, if you interrupt somebody when they've just started, they must get a point because they've got to get going again. It's very unfair. Joan, don't be put off by this.
It's very
difficult.
I want to know what the incorrect challenge was so that I can...
What was the incorrect challenge?
I'm just making one so that you can get another point. I don't mind. You invent one.
There are 9 seconds on dogs with you, Joan, starting now.
Walking in the streets and observing the passing crowd taking their dogs out for a walk, I have noticed how often you see a tall blonde with long...
Well, you won't be surprised to hear that Joan Baker got quite a few points in that round, including one for speaking as the whistle went. I'm afraid, even with my help, she couldn't get quite up into the lead, which is a pity, because I thought she did so extremely well. And we've come to the end of the contest. The other three have been playing the game for 13 years and developed all kinds of little tricks, but if Joan comes back, maybe she'll have thought up a few of her own. But let me now tell you that Kenneth Williams actually finished in fourth place. It's a strange audience that clapped the fellow who comes in fourth place. And Peter Jones was just in second, in third place, 2 points behind Joan Bakewell, and Joan was only 2 points behind this week's winner, who once again was Derek Nimmo. Wish to say that we hope you've enjoyed Just a Minute as much as we've enjoyed playing it, and our audience appear to have enjoyed coming to view it in the studio. From all of us here, goodbye.
The chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The programme was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by David Hatch.